Welcome to the La Trobe University podcast with myself, Matt Smith, and joining me today is Dr. Vincent Alessi, Artistic Director of LUMA, the La Trobe University Museum of Art. Thank you for joining me, Vince.
Thanks, Matt.
Tell me a bit about LUMA. When was it started here at La Trobe?
La Trobe has the great honour of being, to my knowledge, the only Australian university that had an art collection before it had any buildings. And that was part of the original vision by our original master architect, Roy Simpson, who believed that if we were going to not only have students graduate with a qualification, but actually leave university as better citizens, that they actually should then study and live in an environment where they're surrounded by art. So the university had originally commissioned three artists to document the site before and during building works of the first few buildings. And then subsequently from then, the university just continued to build an art collection. So our art collection is very much an art collection that was built as an art collection rather than an art collection that started out as a teaching collection and became an art collection. So it has a very, very clear focus. The actual university didn't have a museum for the first 20-odd years of its existence. So it was really just about the collection being around public spaces and commissioning sculpture work for around the campus.
As far as being, I suppose, the art guru of La Trobe University, what does your scope cover? I assume sculptures around the place, paintings that people might see that are on the walls.
As director, my responsibility is the university art collection, the public sculpture park at Bundoora. So we have just over 20 public sculptures. An ethnographic collection, which consists of approximately 500 objects from mainly Papua New Guinea and Arnhem Land, but also some objects from Africa. The Dunmuchen Foundation Art Collection, which was a collection which is on long-term loan to the university from the Dunmuchen Foundation, which was a foundation established by the late Australian artist Clifton Pugh. And that collection consists of works by Pugh, but also peers that worked with him out at Dunmuchen. And there's roughly about 500 objects in that collection. And we've also taken over the management of a Chinese propaganda poster collection, which the university owns, which was built by Stuart Fraser, who was an academic in the education department. It's one of the largest collections of such posters outside of China. We have close to 1,000 propaganda posters dating from roughly from the 60s through to the 80s. So it's an immensely important collection. And one of the reasons it's come across to us is for conservation reasons, so we can look after it, but also for us to use in exhibition programs. So we've already curated one exhibition which looked at images of children in these posters. It's a collection which over the next 5 to 10 years we'll continue to do research on, and the outcome of that research will be both publications and exhibitions. So that's essentially what we're responsible in looking after.
What are some of the most significant pieces of artwork that are in your collection?
Well, we have some really important and significant sculptures around the Bundoora campus. We have people who have studied at La Trobe or worked at La Trobe will be familiar with the large glass screen that sits out the front of the library. That's the only work of that scale by Alan David, who now lives in New York. We have three very important Inga King sculptures. The major one of those three is the Dialogue of Circles, which is a large 7 metre tall sculpture that sits in the moat at the bottom of the amphitheatre. And that's considered one of her really important works. We're also having our collection Charles Robb's work called Landmark, which is more affectionately known as the Upside Down Charles La Trobe. A really important work. I mean, it's obviously based on the person we're named after, but it's a challenging work because La Trobe is standing on his head and it's a full-size sculpture. So it shows La Trobe at full scale, including a fake marble plinth. So that's a really important work for our collection, because I think it needs to be at La Trobe. And we also have Len French's Four Seasons, which are four separate glassworks which grace the entrance to the university. So they're really significant sculptures on our Bundoora campus. In the actual collection, we have some significant works by major Australian artists. So we have Fred Williams, Len French's Legend of Sinbad series, the complete series, which used to grace a cafe in Bourke Street. More contemporary artists, we have some really significant works by young artists like Juan Ford and Sam Leach and Darren Wardell. So the great thing about the collection is that we have been able to continue to map contemporary practice, and our focus really has been in the last 5 or 6 years to concentrate on acquiring significant works by contemporary artists. So we're quite happy to acquire less works, but really important works which will stand the test of time.
I take it that you get art donations as well as chasing a few works of art as well, by the sounds of it.
We acquire works by purchasing, but we're extremely well supported through donations of artworks, mainly through the government's cultural gifts program. And that really is the main avenue for us to acquire works. I think what that really demonstrates is the outside world commitment to La Trobe in this area, and the support of having a philosophy at this university where we don't collect for collecting sake, but we actually collect to share it with our students and staff. A lot of donors, that really appeals to them because they know that they're going to donate a work and it's going to be seen by a lot of people. And hopefully we continue Roy Simpson's mission, which is people are in the library and they're surrounded by artwork. We don't expect them to stand in front of it and ponder and think, but the fact that they're living with artwork in their space, that subconsciously that they'll continue to do that once they leave university, and that their study and work environment is a lot more pleasant than just having bland walls. And so that philosophy, I think, is one of the main reasons why we're continually supported by donors.
How often is art rotated around the university, and what does that process involve?
It really depends on the work. So works that are more robust, so paintings, we would leave out for a couple of years, and works on paper we try and rotate every 12 months. When the new library opens, we will have a dedicated wall space in the library for us to bring out more of the permanent collection in a designated space. And at this stage, we're looking at sort of rotating that every 6 months.
I don't think people sometimes realise how much work that involves to rotate paintings. I've been involved in carrying a huge painting up to level 3 of the David Myers
building.
Yeah,
look, I mean, that's one of the other things too. So we try and plan the workload because it is a major task, and that's sort of added on to, you know, curating other shows and doing other things around the university. You know, moving one work can take a couple of hours depending on the scale of the work. And it's a fine balance between the conservation needs of artworks, the resourcing needs of actually moving things around, and also ensuring that we share it with, you know, this collection with the university community and the public.
What is the artwork that gets the most comments from people? But for me, it would be the painting of Peter Garrett, whose eyes follow me around every time I go past him.
Yeah. For me, it's undoubtedly, both positive and negative responses, is undoubtedly the Charles Robb sculpture of Charles La Trobe on his head.
Mm.
And that varies from...
Why?
That varies from people who really love it and like the fact that it's turned on its head, and people's view is, as a university, that's what we should be doing. That's really what research is about looking at things differently. To the real vitriolic, including when we first installed it, I actually received a number of letters suggesting that I resign for acquiring such a work. So I'm quite happy for people to respond in any way because it means that they're actually engaging.
Have you ever been tempted to label a light switch and claim it as a modern art installation?
No, I haven't been tempted to do that, but we run a prize every 2 years with the City of Darabin, and we did actually include in one of those prizes a very old penguin book which was put up against a wall with a brick. And I really just liked that work because I knew it would challenge people. From an aesthetic point of view, it looked really interesting, and the fact that it sat on the floor, people weren't quite sure whether it was an artwork or not. Those works have the capacity to prompt discussion more so than a painting does, for instance. I'll just concentrate on curating and writing about art and not sort of claiming anything myself.
How far do you plan ahead? Do you have any art in mind for La Trobe Institute of Molecular Science, for example?
Well, I suppose there's two aspects. When it comes to our exhibition program, we work roughly 12 to 18 months in advance, and that really is just logistically in that sort of time frame. With a lot of the building works happening around the university, it presents an amazing opportunity for us to get more work into public spaces. We would like in those buildings, for instance, the Molecular Science Building and the Agribioscience Centre, what we would like to do is actually have works in public spaces in those buildings which relate to what is happening in those buildings. So, you know, if they're science buildings, that we actually have thematically a science feel to the works that are in there.
Can you tell me a bit about the process of the Chancellor's portraits that are over in the John Scott Meeting House?
Yeah, it's a tradition of not only this university, but for a lot of universities, to commission a portrait of the Chancellor and the Vice-Chancellor. We've actually just commissioned a portrait of the existing Chancellor, Sylvia Bolton, and that process has only started this week. and we will have her portrait completed by March next year. And what is really interesting about those is my view is that the portrait should actually capture not only the person, but also the role. When you're looking at a portrait of a chancellor, that the person has an understanding of what the chancellor's role is, as well as understanding, having a sense of who the person is. In my time at La Trobe, I've only ever known one chancellor and two vice chancellors. So my link with our history in those positions is through these paintings. And so they're a really important aspect, I think, of our collection, because for staff and for future students, they get to know a little bit about these people through the paintings. It's a very old tradition, you know, and I've often thought, what would happen if we commissioned a photograph of a chancellor or a vice chancellor rather than a painting, how that would be viewed, because it would be a slight disjointed approach to the tradition of painting a portrait. You know, in some ways it's an antiquated tradition, but by the same token, I think it's a really important tradition that we need to continue, because it is a link to these people who have played a fundamental role in shaping the university.
Who's painting Sylvia, can you say?
Yeah, it's Juan Ford, who's a fantastic young Melbourne-based artist. We are lucky enough to have work by Juan in our collection. It's one of those works that gets a lot of feedback. It's in the vice-chancellor's area. As you walk towards the vice-chancellor's offices, it's a skull that is embedded in a group of gum trees. He's an amazingly talented painter, but also an amazing conceptual artist. So I think we're going to get a really amazing portrait of Sylvia, which Juan is very much a photorealist painter. So you'll easily identify that it's the Chancellor. But I think the way that he'll be able to bring out Sylvia's personality will be really fantastic, because he's an artist that has that capacity.
To you, what would a university be like without art?
I've fully subscribed to Roy Simpson's view and the founders of the university's view that if we are serious about not only producing graduates, but producing better citizens who are going to make a difference to the world they live in, you can't achieve that without having them live in a cultural world. By no means do I ever expect that people should stand in front of a work and ponder for hours, although that can be satisfying. I just think by being in a university which is a place of learning, art is the one thing that has captured our history, from early cave paintings to works from, you know, Victorian England or more contemporary works. Art has the capacity to reflect and respond to what's happening in the world and to its society. If you're in a university and part of the brief is to educate people but also to give them a knowledge base which they can take out to the world, well, I think part of that knowledge base should be the cultural aspect. And I think if we can instill that in our graduates, I think we've gone a long way in achieving our aim. I mean, I just think universities without art museums and without art collections, in a way, are sort of void. It becomes a very one-dimensional experience.
Well, that's all the time we've got for the podcast today. If you've got any questions, comments or feedback, email it to podcast@latrobe.edu.au. And Dr. Vincent Alessi, thank you for your time today.
Thanks, Matt.